I am going to leave this off of mute so we have an open line for this evening. So be prepared to jump in and share as we go through this process this evening. Welcome to our Tuesday night. Can you believe we're back again already? It just seems like last Tuesday night that we're wrapping up our discussion around intrinsic validation and learning how to step into someone's world and take down those walls of resistance. Then when we understand what's happening, we ask those questions that create a safe place. People can trust us. This isn't something we manipulate. This is something we fake. This is something that we do because we're learning to care about other people. We've taken that stuff out of our sack, engraved it on our heart, and we're showing up focused on them. This is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. I might tell you, we're getting ready to write a book on this scroll number 2. We've got 10 coaches who will be the authors of the book. We've got some fascinating people we'll be interviewing who have used these scrolls to change their life. Very excited to see that. Expect that book to be coming out, we hope, by Christmas time. So we're very excited about that, that edition. Now, as you looked at the measurements in your assessment for connection with people, before we go to the next section, I just want you to reflect on these measurements for a moment and in terms of the principles and practices and processes that we've talked about. If you've got your assessment there, like look at empathetic. Do we see the pricelessness in another human being? First measurement. Well, as we shift from focusing on us to the other person, that's exactly what we're doing. As we make that decision, we're starting to address that empathetic measurement, either use the strength that's here or shift the thought process. Because if it's orange or red, it's often because we may have been injured by a person or we're just fatigued by people or just cautious. And all of a sudden, we're stepping into their world. We're not surrendering who we are. We're simply listening to them. We discover that we can be whole and complete, be ourselves. We don't have to give ourselves away. We simply show up by listening to other people. In terms of respectful, if we haven't been noticing people, we are now noticing them. If we're over-focused on outward appearances, we now know it's not about outward appearance at all. Excuse me, it's about stepping into their world and finding what's happening behind the scenes. In terms of the measurement accepting their belief systems, we begin to step into their world and we see their goodness and we see the challenges. We may discover that we're dealing with a rattlesnake. And with the clarity of, wow, I don't know that I want to take this conversation any further or be involved in business with this person. And we trust our heart because our intuition is now accurate. Tolerant. Can we see the risks in another person? By seeing more clearly who they are, by stepping into their world, we begin to understand that. In terms of creating boundaries, we now know that it's not about just slamming somebody with, you didn't do that, that bothered me. We might say, would you share with me what you were thinking? Help me better understand that. And you step into their world until they feel understood, we may discover that that which upset us has an entirely different situation happening. Ramona and I have been enjoying the TV show, Downton Abbey. How many of you are watching Downton Abbey on PBS? There are so many beautiful things scripted into that show where someone really doesn't know the truth of what's happening, and it's so easy to make a judgment and be frustrated by someone when that wasn't their motivation at all. So it's part of boundaries is truly understanding the other person. We may discover we misunderstood. Or there might be something else, and it can help us keep things in proper perspective. That's a balanced measurement, in proper perspective. Somebody may be underperforming, but there may be a very good reason why. And now we understand, and we can make a wise decision based on good information. Then we have the last measurement, compassion. Compassion. Passion meaning to suffer for something we love. Compassion, suffer with someone. Can we step into their world? Can we hear them? Can we ask the empathetic questions? Can we feel what they're feeling? Passion. So Those are the measurements, and that's why we're using intrinsic validation in each one of those pieces, all the way from taking the stuff out of our sack into our heart, making the conscious decision to shift our focus to another. Is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? From looking for the good, to listening, to taking down those walls of resistance, each one of these steps is helping us bring into balance one of these measurements. So practice those principles over and over and over again, and just take a look at your assessment and say, gosh, where are my challenges? Is it respectful? Was I too focused on outward appearance, and now I'll step into their world? Just and fair, am I upset with someone every time they do something? Do I really know what's happening behind the scenes? Can I care enough to find out? We may discover the truth, and there may be a real problem that needs to be addressed. Clearly, there also may be a better perspective that we gain by stepping into someone's world. So we get to sharpen our intuition. What a gift. So that's that first section of connection. Let us take this one on like we have never taken it on before. Let us listen. 2 weekends ago, I spent almost an entire weekend, just listening. It was an amazing experience, just being the listener. Miracles could occur when we're in that space. So be in that space. Now, tonight we're shifting to the second quality of an intentional creator. In your intentional creation studio, which if you're at your assessment results, you just click on creation tools, takes you to your studio. This is quality number 2. There's a couple of hours of recorded material to help you with this area. I'd like to just take each one at a time, each one of these measurements, talk a little bit about what you can do, and the 5 constructive ways of thinking. We've got just a little bit of background and noise in the background. If you're moving around or shuffling things, if you could just press *6 on your phone, that would be great, and that'll take out that background noise. The recording, we want to keep it just as clean as possible because we have lots and lots of people listen to us during the course of the week. So any noise in the background, just press *6. Thank you. Well, let's take a look at your assessment. This is in the bottom right-hand section. What happens in this section of your assessment impacts how you feel about life. This is the conversation you have with yourself about how you'd like your life to be. What motivation is driving you? How do you feel about your own performance? How do you feel about everything that needs to be done to make your dreams come true? How committed are you to the process? These are things that exist only in our mind, but they absolutely impact how we feel when we step out into the real world. That's what joy in the journey is, that next section up. This is our tangible life. This is where we live. It's directly impacted by the thought processes we entertain about how we would like it to be or how we should be motivated to do it, all those kinds of thought processes. So let's take a look. I want to start in the 3rd measurement, goal-oriented. We've talked a lot about this measurement, yet many of us are still deeply plagued by it. I noticed something the other day that was very exciting. I was dealing with something that was kind of stressful, and I found myself staying in creation, and I thought, wow, there's a shift occurring, because my goal-oriented is red. I don't know what yours is, but mine's red. Just take a look at your measurement. The ability to vividly visualize, to just see things, see pictures. And the greatest risk in today's economy is that what we may see may not be positive. It, in fact, may be very negative. We may be developing a pattern of pessimistic thinking. I call it the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. Now, I don't know if you go there very often, but I'd like us all to go there just for a moment so we can feel what it's like. Our mind is just spinning and we're thinking. It's like we're almost waiting for the next shoe to drop, waiting for the next problem to occur, the next challenge to happen. We're just in that kind of a space. We go in this big dark dungeon of despair and we start wallowing in all the frustrations that we have. And some of them may be very significant. Last week I've had the opportunity to spend some time with people who've got some very, very serious issues going on in their life. It would be very easy, I hate to use the word very, but so many times, but very easy to slide into that dark dungeon of discouragement. And just be with me for a moment. Did you go there at all today? Anybody? Anybody go there today?
I did.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So easy to go there. So we go into this dark dungeon of despair, and what we know is the light of hope can't go there. We also know that something happens to our body, that our sympathetic nervous system, when we step into that space, releases a huge reserve of cortisol. Now, the primary reason why it's released is to speed up metabolism and heal wounds, because like we're going into a war zone. The body is just protecting us from the damage that will be done in this awful, deadly place. Is there a chance that we might actually get a wound other than self-inflicted? Is there a possibility? A physical, tangible wound? What do you think? When we're in this mental place, I suppose if we lose contact and or consciousness and crash a car, we could. But most of the time, the body's releasing the molecule, ligand actually, cortisol, to heal the wounds for something that's never going to happen. So all that cortisol goes into our body, and it just starts consuming our cells. The doctors tell us that 95% of all illness at age 65 is the direct result of this chronic release of cortisol over time. So there's a lot of health reasons why we don't want to be here. We also know that as we go through life, that if we go here, we could end up with some issues around hypertension, blood pressure increases, cholesterol issues, exacerbation of issues like diabetes, blood sugar levels in the body, immune deficiency challenges. If a person spends a lot of time here, stressed, and cortisol is being released, one thing you will know is that you get the flu. You'll catch a cold. It might even turn into pneumonia. That's the natural outcome of having a compromised immune system. And that's what happens when that chronic release of cortisol is occurring. So we know that if we go there, which we all do, we spend 10 minutes in this place, and the chemicals that are released in our body, the molecules, impair us physically. 10 minutes won't impair us for 10 hours. You've heard me say that before. I just want us to understand clearly what's happening. Why would we ever subject ourselves to that kind of a physiological punishment? But we do. The word is masochistic. It's almost as if we enjoy the pain. As we feel so bad about what's happening, we might as well take a whip and just smack ourselves over our shoulders with it. Bam, bam, till we're bleeding. Because the cortisol is doing that internally for us. Just eating us up. The beautiful principle of using our mind constructively tells us this. We may not solve that problem, but what we won't do is add to it. We may in fact find a solution that may not have been any other place. I can share with you without question that there have been days when I want to wallow in that place, discouraged, frustrated, because something hasn't worked the way I'd hoped. And I really needed it to. And if I spend time there, I know I'm going to miss an answer. Because every time I shift out of that, everybody got your tomahawks? Pull out your tomahawk, your left hand, chop the air, say it with me, not going there today. I'm staying in creation. Every time we do this and we choose to use our mind constructively. We'll get an idea, ignite our passion, drive our action, and we will in fact create something we would not have had any other way. This is the way we're built. We're built to think constructively. This is how we're built. We go into the dark dungeon and we get punished by cortisol because we don't have an enemy other than an experience that's going on in our life. But the body's reacting as if there is one. This is an inappropriate physiological reaction to this mental challenge. We're not built for this. We're built to have cortisol released when a bear attacks us. That's what it's for. Or when a real physical enemy is attacking us. Not when we're discouraged or feeling depressed. So not going there today, because if I do, I'm going to release in my body a fierce and destructive molecule. It's going to destroy my body. And not only is the cortisol going to be released that destroys my body, in my brain, my fight or flight center is going to intentionally shut down the very parts where I could receive inspired ideas. Empathy, practical judgment, the place where we're going to see these visions of possibility, that very part of my brain is going to be shut down. The conduit through which I could get answers. Why would I shut down the very conduit to the answers? I still do it. Oops, whoa, get out of there. Not going there today. It's quicker. Just get out there quicker. Can't spend 2 minutes there. Catch yourself there. Pull yourself right out. And we're going to go into a constructive thought process. The same thing's happening when self-direction goes orange and we're into have to and should and must and need to and even fear of consequences. So we're doing the work, but it's boring and it's mundane and it's repetitious and it's burdensome. It's the same place. So instead of wallowing in our misery, we're now working in our misery. Honorable may be creating this unrealistic expectation about how life ought to be. And then we're falling short. We get to beat ourselves up over that. We may be overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done to get there. That's pragmatic. Coachable if it's out of balance. We may just be stuck here. We're so accustomed to going into that dark dungeon, living in this obligation, being into perfection, we don't know how to think otherwise. So it's time for us to change them, speaking of them being these thought processes, for us, the master of our thought processes, the observer, sitting in the observer's chair, for us to make a different choice, because we can. We can. And you can feel the pull. I'm in my room here in my office, and Ramona's sitting here with me. I'm swiveling back and forth between the dark dungeon over there on the left and the possibilities of constructive thought over here on the right, and this over here on the left just wants to keep pulling us back. Like feeling sorry for ourselves is going to create a different outcome. It never creates another outcome, a better outcome. It never does. It destroys our body and shuts down our brain. That's all it does. So we come over here. And we're going to start tonight because we're going to talk about these five constructive ways of thinking. We'll get through as many as we can. We need to spend a little time next week. We'll continue. This very first one, mental creation. I talked just a little bit about this last Tuesday when I was at SMU that previous day speaking to the football team and with Lee Steinberg and June Jones and et cetera over the weekend. Bob Landy from Stellaris, Jeff Ross, and Scott McKay, great human beings. This was the space we were in all weekend. I take you back to discuss mental creation. In mental rehearsal, I'm going to share with you an example and the result. And then I want to play with something that's coming up in your life. So we're not going to go on discouragement, not going there today. I'm not going to go into obligation. Got my tomahawk out. I'd have to use it 75 times a day, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to go into mental rehearsal. The more time you spend in this space, and the more time you listen to the inspirations and act on them, the sooner your circumstances shift. It's simple. Sunday afternoon, I'm sitting in the hotel. We'd been to church that morning with June and Lee and Daniel Bugs, who was a professional football player with Washington Redskins, great human being from now living in Atlanta, pastor. Jeff Ross was there with us. One of the Gatlin brothers that was there the night before playing the guitar came with us. That was fun. We're all there worshiping together. And I come back to the hotel, and I've got a couple hours to ponder the speech I'm going to give to the football team the next morning. Just want you to be here with me. On Saturday, I was allowed to go into the room where the speech would be given. Beautiful room with all these red leather chairs in a stadium setting. You know, the reclining kinds of chairs. I mean, really comfortable chairs. It's a crazy place. Awesome. So I've been there. I'm sitting here in the hotel room. And these are the principles. Principle number one. The intention is to serve these young men at an extremely high level. That applies every time you use this principle. So I want you to be thinking about an event coming up in your life within the next week. Something that's important. Just be here with me. Think about your event. My event was speaking the next morning. My total intention, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to feel that. You feel that with me? So just look at your event. What can I create? Ask that. And just be with it. And some people have said, well, how do I see this, Dave? I'm making this up. I say, if you ever dreamt about or had fantasies about a dream home or a dream car or a dream vacation or being out of debt, nobody had to tell you how it felt. The desire to be there drove the visualization. If your desire, your burning desire, and the fiber of your being is to create something really unique and special in that event, just go there for a moment. I want to create something. In that spirit, I began to share what I would share, and I looked in this young man's face and the next young man's face, and I tried something. That didn't work, so I tried something else. And I just want to feel what's happening. I've done assessments with a number of these young men. Just like the people you're going to be meeting with, you know something about them. There are things you do not know about them. But there's a power that does. Just like with these young men, there is a power that does. As I'm sharing this, I get to a special place in what I wanted to share. And I saw myself turn and introduce Lee Steinberg. Now, those of you who don't know Lee is a sports agent. Represent a lot of well-known NFL players and NBA players and boxers, all kinds of people. Just a tender, humble, sweet, beautiful man. And I saw myself introduce him and ask him if he would share with these football players. And I remember pausing and kind of coming to and going, wow, what was that all about? He's not even scheduled to be there tomorrow morning. But I could feel in the fibers of my being that I just got an inspired idea because something lit up inside of me. We know when we get an inspired idea because part of our brain lights up that's normally dormant. pondered, what could that mean? I've learned to trust those impressions. So later that afternoon, June picks me up to take me over to the SMU athletic banquet. I said, June, are there any NCAA rules against a sports agent talking to a football team? He said, no, there aren't, as long as he doesn't give them something. And I said, great, let me tell you what just happened this afternoon. And I've got to tell you, before I shared this with him, I went, he's going to think I'm crazy. He's going to think I'm crazy. And I went, no, there's a reason for this. I trust that impression. So I said, June, I was sitting there visualizing the room and talking to the players and wanting so badly to reach into their hearts and create something magnificent for them. And I saw myself turn, introduce Lee. What do you think? And he said, David, that's a God thing. That's exactly what he said. That's a God thing. I said, are you okay if I invite him to join me and take part of the time you set aside for me? He said, absolutely. I said, great. So went to the banquet, came back to the hotel where Lee and I were staying in the same hotel, and I called Lee up. I just told him the story. I said, Lee, this afternoon I was sitting here pondering this, and this is what happened. I checked with June, and he said there wasn't a problem. He says, that's right, there isn't. I said, could you free up your schedule tomorrow to come with me? He said, what time? And I said, we're going to leave at 7:30. And he went, oh, he's West Coast. You know, that'd be 5:30 West Coast time. He'd been going hard for many days and was kind of looking forward to sleeping in for a minute before he went and caught his plane. And I said, I really felt strongly about this, Lee. There's something that needs to be shared tomorrow. And he said, okay, I'll come. What do you want me to say? And I said, I don't know. I'll just know when to introduce you, and I trust you'll know what to say. He said, great, let's do it. So the next morning, we meet in the lobby. We go over and we spend some time in the workout room with the guys, and some shook hands and spent some time talking to some of the guys that I had assessed. And then we went into the big room, and June introduced me. I spent about 45 minutes or so talking to these guys about what matters most, the principles we teach. It was really an exciting moment to see these 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids taking this on. Yes, sir, no, sir, absolutely. They got it. They really got it. And I got to this piece about how important it is for them as role models to not walk around the campus with this swagger of how cool am I, but to use their influence to serve people who are in need. Watch for those who are in need. Lift somebody every day. Use your influence to bless a life. And I got this impression, this is the time. So I stopped, said, I want to introduce a friend. You know Lee Steinberg. Had them all stand, give them an ovation. I said, Lee, come on up. Lee came up, and for the next 20 minutes, he took them to a place that only he could have taken them. He teaches social responsibility to the athletes that he represents. And he said, this one put 600 kids through college. This one put the down payments down for 250 single moms. This one did this, this one. And he talked about why it's so important to give. We were all in tears. I mean, you know, football players aren't like sobbing, but we're all kind of wet-eyed and going, wow, that's what I want to be like. Well, I'm supposed to stand up and wrap it up, right? Except for it was wrapped. It was done. Beautiful bow. I just turned to June, nodded. June got it. He walked over and thanked us all for coming and ended the event, and we all got to shake hands and spend a little time visiting with the guys and just connecting, and it was awesome. We wrapped it up. That was one of my favorite mental rehearsal experiences on many, many levels, many that aren't yet to be announced. This is how we want to live, using our mind constructively. If our burning desire for your event, you got an event coming up, what can I create? How can I create that? Just get an inspired idea. How do I create that? I need to talk to June. I need to get permission. Okay. How will that serve? Didn't know till we did it. Not that time. Take your event for a moment. I want to ask if anybody's got an event coming up in the next week that they would like to brainstorm with me, mentally rehearse, and see what we can come up with in preparation for the event. Does anybody have one tonight they would like to just come out and let us work on it for a minute?
Dave, this is Diana in St. Louis.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm good. I have a huge job interview on Thursday.
Say a little bit more.
Well, it's a customer service job with a company that provides medical equipment, home medical equipment. So it's primarily working with doctors and doctors' offices and hospitals and coordinating the medical equipment to go out to people's homes. So the job consists of not only speaking with the medical professionals, but also the individual people as they get their units set up into their homes.
So the actual end user.
Yes.
Okay.
And it can eventually, it could lead into a good sales position for me too.
As I was sharing that story and you were reflecting on this job interview, anything come up for you?
Well, I know they sent me home with homework and they want me to come up with a whole list of memorable stories of how I helped save the day, basically, in customer service throughout my last 10 years. And also things that I did that I screwed up. which is like, well, how do you present that? I really didn't screw up too much, so I'm going to have to make some stuff up. But
well, don't make anything up.
share with me one of your success stories. Well, one of them was when I was in a customer service position at, and I was working in a trucking company. I was the person who handled all the international shipments going out, and it was primarily university professors and doctors who were going back home, and most of the time it was to Asia. But the doctors and the professors themselves didn't really do much of the coordination. It was usually their spouses who did not speak English. And so it was very challenging, and sometimes it would take a complete day in order to get all of the export papers and get the shipment prepared properly and to get everything in order to make this happen. So nobody else at the company liked to do it. And in fact, the boss would rather turn them away, and I knew that the corporate had fits when that would happen. So I would walk through the mud, per se, and pull it off every time, even though most of these people couldn't speak hardly a word of English.
Great story. Let me share with you what a boss might want to hear. I did what needed to be done. I went through the mud. Sometimes it took a little while, but I felt it was best to do it right. These were the belongings of a person, and we were being entrusted with getting them to the right place. I wanted to make sure they got there. Don't hesitate to tell the story with that kind of confidence. Mm-hmm. Go back and reflect on as you're pondering this, what was the motivation that drove you to do this? Were you trying to impress somebody, or did you actually care about these people?
I really cared.
Then I would say that.
Life.
This is their whole life. I can hear that. You know, I've asked myself why I did it so thoroughly. Was I trying to do it to impress somebody? And I've come to the conclusion I did it because I actually cared about them, because this was their whole life. Now I'm going to take you a little bit further. In your business, your end user is in need of medical equipment. That means they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you hire me, I'll be helping them get their equipment and get it right, because this is their whole life right now. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now, very few people will go in this space. I would mentally rehearse sharing with them that one story and drawing a comparison, not to manipulate, but to make it really clear the truth about you. I know you, Diana. This is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am. If you want somebody that does that, then I'm your person. If you want someone to just do a quick, get the job done, I'm probably the wrong person. I just want it done right the first time. Because medical equipment to someone who's ill has got to be really important. How do you feel about it as a company? Oh, that's exactly how we feel. Good, then we're going to work great together. Don't be ashamed of being this real. Because this is what drives you. This is the truth of it. And very few people are going to have courage to go into this space. Oh, they'll tell crazy little stories and ha-ha, giggle, giggle. You get to look them straight in the eye and sit up straight. Just imagine yourself looking them right in the eye and telling the story. I asked myself if I did that to impress my boss. And, you know, the truth is I cared about them. This was their whole life. I've been pondering what it would be like for one of your clients to get their medical equipment. You got a doctor. We're coordinating with his office to make sure we get the right thing to them, that it gets there for them, and it does what it's supposed to do. Because this is really important to someone who's ill, who's injured. Is that how this company feels about it? Then we're going to be great. You're not looking for a standing ovation. You're not manipulating. You're not making anything up. You're just being dead serious. Because if that employer doesn't want you to be in this space with this topic, you don't want to work for them.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
True. If they do, they don't have a better person to hire than you. True?
Hmm?
So just imagine them asking you, could you share with one of your stories? Just imagine yourself sitting up straight and just leaning in and just telling it straight. Don't rehearse it. You know, like you got the words memorized, and what's the next sentence? Just from your heart. Just close your eyes. Be there with them. Looking them right in the eye. Just imagine you're really doing this. And feel it at a deep, profound level. Then when you get there, just show up in that space. That allow your self-confidence to come to the surface, your real heart to be revealed. I'm glad you jumped out tonight. This is important for you.
It's very. I've been out of a job for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really important for you. Now, I want you to mentally rehearse a couple other things. What's really important to them? I have a story I'd like to tell you, and trust how it comes out. You are asking a power greater than yourself to help you understand what their hearts really are, right? Be in that space. Be okay with it. You may find you. I'm just mentally rehearsing with you right now. I'm sitting here being you, looking at them and going something like, I'd love to tell you a story, but may I ask you a question before I do? How important is that your end user, your client who gets this material, gets it, it works, and they feel relieved? They feel, I don't know what the words would be, you'll come up with better ones than I am, that they feel satisfied and relieved, and that the doctor knows that they're okay. Because I was pondering this the other night, how this might happen. How do you feel about, I work with a doctor, their office, we decide what they need, we make sure the right thing gets delivered to the patient, we make sure that it works. So I communicate with the patient to make sure everything is working the way they want it. Then I call back the office, the doctor's office, and confirm that it's done. And the patient's happy. Is that something that would be important to you? Oh, yeah. Okay, then I'll tell you my story. Then you tell your story about helping these people move. I ask myself, did I do this to try to impress my employer? No. This is everything to them. I did it because I cared about them. That's who I am. If they don't like that, you don't want to work there. Be that real, genuine, authentic person that you truly are. See what happens. Trust it. That's who you are. You doing okay?
Yes, yes. I like how you had, how you suggested to lead with asking them the question about how they would feel about the whole process of making sure the patient got the right equipment, got it installed, they were happy with the process, and calling the doctor back to make the doctor happy and to be assured that the company did everything and went steps even beyond to get the whole situation, and then ask them and go into my story about how I did that for the other company. I like that.
And that's my mental rehearsal. You'll want to have your own. You'll be guided in your own if you'll go into this space and just be with it. So I can promise you there won't be one applicant who does what we just said. There won't be one. They'll be coming in to impress them and tell them. Go ahead.
I like it because you frame the situation that way.
Yeah. You're asking them if this is something that's of value to them before you tell them what's valuable to you. Mm-hmm. It's called not putting your pearls before swine. If they say, no, that's just a waste of time, we just want you to make sure it gets delivered and just check on this, well, that would be hard for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be prepared to walk away.
Yeah.
Even though that's desperation about a job, you got to be prepared to walk away because you don't want to be in a situation where they don't really care about patients and you do. You'll be in conflict with them. Won't last
very
long.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're saying, may I ask you a question first? I would make sure that you let them know. I was pondering your process the other day, and let me share with you what I was envisioning, and just walk through that process. How important is that to you, that it be done like that? Oh, that's exactly what we're looking for. Okay, then I'll tell you my story. Now tell me your story. That's what I do. Now, when you're mentally rehearsing, everybody on the phone, we just mentally rehearse an ideal idea, right? You want to go ideal, and then challenging. Then back to ideal and challenging. suspect, ideal, and challenging. And see how many ideal and challenging scenarios you can play out, because now you're prepared. May I give you one that's a challenging one? Diana, would that be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now just be with this for a moment. You don't answer quickly. Just be with it for a moment. I want you to mentally rehearse them asking you, Diana, why haven't you had a job for 2 years? Do you think they might ask that?
That has been asked before in interviews.
With this company?
No, with other companies.
Okay. I'd be prepared with an answer. What have you been doing to try to generate money for the last 2 years? What have you been doing?
I've been on unemployment, and I've also been just doing little contract jobs.
Anything else?
I have been learning new skills.
Such as?
I've been learning things on the internet, such as website building and social media, and learning more and more about sales, and I've been reading voraciously business books. And
any home-based business along the way?
Unfortunately, I haven't had the money to be able to do my home-based business.
But your home-based business was what?
What was it? Or what is it?
What was it? Just say what it was.
Manavi.
Yeah. Now watch this. I'm just mentally rehearsing with you. So, why haven't you been working for the last 2 years? I have been. I just haven't had a full-time W-2 job. I've been working some contract services. I've been learning some new skills in terms of internet marketing and website web design, and I've been working a home-based business that was network marketing. And now it's time for me to go back into a regular, steady job, and I get to bring all those skills with me. Learning how to talk to people, connect. I'll give you another one. I'm just mentally rehearsing so you can feel this muscle.
Okay.
Over the last couple of years, I know recently you haven't had, but over the last couple of years, I've been doing some contract work and working on personal improvement by joining a network marketing company. It was one of the top in the country. It was called Monavi. And I was learning how to connect with people and have conversations with people. I can tell you, if you can do network marketing, you can do anything. Hardest thing I've ever done. But it's time for me to get back into a regular job. I made the decision that that's what I'd rather do. But I get to bring all those people skills with me. Is any of this resonating with you?
Sure.
Yeah, don't be fearful about an answer, because you're just exploring this in your own mind, but feel the anxiety come up at first. Go, wow, I can't bring that in there with me. You know, they think that I'm trying to hide something. I'm just going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell them the truth of what I've done. And I get to bring all of that curiosity, all those skills that I've learned, into my new position. But I'm ready to settle down in a full-time job. Have you ever been involved in network marketing before? I'm not trying to recruit you. Have you ever been involved in network marketing before? Yeah. Was it one of the hardest things you ever did? Yep. Yeah, me too. Just be truthful. How disarming is that? Ever been involved in a network marketing company? No, never have. Hardest thing I ever did. But I learned some marvelous people skills. Is that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. Just tell the truth. The truth is so disarming. Because when some people ask that question, they misdirect. People can discern that in a heartbeat. They just know it. So if you're going to play that one out, just practice telling the truth. As a matter of fact. Because if you try to butter it up with anything or put icing on it, they're gonna know you're trying to. Just tell them the truth. Now go back and find a positive one to play out. What's a negative thing they could ask you? Positive one, negative. Just play it out and see what happens. You'll be ready. What they're going to want to know is they can trust you with their doctors. They can trust you with their patients. They can trust you with their reputation. That's all they want to know. And you've got a heart and you actually care. That's what they need to know. So nothing fancy, just be truthful. Okay, you ready to go back and mentally rehearse this week? Get ready for it?
Yes, and I have a 4-hour drive because it's in another city.
Oh, my goodness, you got a lot of time to think about it while you're driving. Now, last thing I'm going to share with you and share with everybody on the call tonight. If you start to feel nervousness, who are you thinking about? You start to feel nervous, who are you focusing on?
Yourself.
So just know, while you're driving there, you're getting ready to go in, you're starting to feel nervous, stop and say, this isn't about me, this is about me serving them. I'm going to go find out what they need. How could I bring me to serve them? I'm going to step into their world. I'm going to find out what they need. Just remember that I'm going to focus on them. You walk in and everything. You focus on the receptionist when you walk in. You focus on the person who greets you when you see them. You sit down. You're focused on them. You're totally transparent. There won't be anybody else interviewing like that. They'll all be there trying to prove something. They'll all be about them. Themselves. And you're all about the people who want to hire you. It's an enormous shift. It's a wonderful shift. Peaceful shift. Okay, you're all set. At least you've got the workings now. You're welcome. Just play with this a little bit. Now, anybody listening to this, did you learn anything about this process through this discussion? Anybody else want to jump out?
Hello, Dave. It's Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea. What did you learn from our discussion?
That was a great new refreshing perspective on just how to, I understand that it was an interview, but in how to deal with any conversation across, so not only the network marketing conversation, but with anyone that is inquiring or questions. I just love the line, the sentence, the truth is disarming, and just speaking from the heart and telling the truth. And we all know to tell the truth, but I was hugely impacted by what you said and how you said that, and also that when you do feel nervousness, you're focusing on yourself, and that's not really what we're here to do. We're here to focus on the other person, step into their world, and find out what they need. So I just love those tools moving forward. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. Absolutely. It really rang true to me tonight how it was conveyed. So thank you, and thank you for sharing the interview process with us as well.
Oh, you're welcome, Chelsea. And could you see why we teach intrinsic validation first? Now we're using our mind constructively.
Absolutely. It's all coming together.
Because all she's doing is using intrinsic validation and mental creation. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. She's practicing it before she even gets there. Yes, going full circle. Yeah.
And that,
so
and that is, that's how, sorry.
I'm sorry, I keep stepping on you. It's my fault.
It's just that little delay in the phone. It is that power outside ourselves that does know what people want and that does govern the universe, and we are truly tapping into it when we do that creation and when we do focus on someone else. And an intrinsic validation now makes sense.
I got excited. Medical equipment for people in trouble, and they're looking for a customer service representative to serve the doctors and the patients. That's a sacred relationship, doctor-patient relationship. Doctors helping someone who's ill, providing them with equipment, and the piece in between is the company providing it. And it's exciting they care enough to hire a customer service person because they've already sold, the salesman's already sold the doctor on using the stuff. Now someone's going to make sure what the doctor's ordered gets to the patient and the patient gets served properly. It sounds like this company's right up Diana's alley, you know. How fun is that? That's a really sacred relationship. And you bring somebody like Diana with her heart into that world, touche, home run.
And I loved how you coached to ask the question first, if that was something that they were looking for.
And I wish I could tell you that's the way it's supposed to be, but that's how it happened in the mental rehearsal. Because if you truly are focused on serving the other person, what can I create, how you can create, the inspired idea that comes is in alignment with the principle. I was kind of delighted when it came out, too. Wow, that's a great idea. I was surprised,
right,
too. I thought, wow, that's cool, yeah. What if she did this first? Wow. I'm sitting here on this side being taught while we're doing the exercise because we're just applying the truth of the principle. We're just applying the principle. We were genuinely mentally rehearsing. I didn't know the answer to that till we got there. And you may not know the answer, too, but what everybody on this phone can trust, that if you'll do this process, what can I create? How can I create it? How will that serve? The inspirations that come will be congruent with the principles that we are teaching. Same source. No surprise. Wow, that's a good idea. Yeah, that was a good idea. And I don't want to take credit for it because it came to me in the mental rehearsal.
Right.
So Diana, just trust your own gut. Chelsea, trust your own gut. Everybody tonight, just trust your own gut. Yours may be different. Words may be different. But they'll be consistent with these principles because you'll be focused on serving them. How fun. I'm sure glad we went here tonight and we spent this much time on it because this one exercise we just talked about, mentally rehearsing, will be the most common use of constructive thought. You will get to a point, if you'll start doing this, where your entire thought process throughout the day stays in this place. Now, we'll add to it next week with, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, explore possibilities, problem solve. We'll start getting into goal setting. But this is the standard. This is the place where you come. And if you'll come here, take the next event in your life, instead of wallowing on what could happen or what maybe had just happened or something that happened yesterday, just get rid of all that stuff, go to the next big event, and make the next one inspired. That's how we turn our life around. A series of these well-executed mental rehearsals, inspirations, ignite passion, drive action, create something we would not have had otherwise. Well, Diana will be excited next week to hear back on how your interview went. It's been great being with you tonight. All of you go back to this week and let's practice this. Because as you're practicing mental rehearsals, we said a moment ago, you're also practicing how to intrinsically validate. So now we're using what we learned the last 2 weeks with this piece. Let's take it to a new level. And let's come back, and the very first thing we want to do next week is have you share, anybody who's had an experience, share what happened. Share with us what happened. Diana, we'll start with you. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday. Come off of mute and just say good night, everybody.
Thanks, Dave.
Good night.
You're so welcome.
Goodbye,
thanks, everybody. Good night, everyone.